Next on BYUSN, which BYU football position group is the most underrated according to college football prognosticator Phil Steele? Time to get fired up. Plus, new rule changes for college basketball. Will these changes make the game better? And is there finally justice for Dawson Baker?
Nice. Kevin Young's in studio to talk about his extension, summer practice, and a new recruit on the way. And former Cougar football and rugby player Paul Asike and fellow Cougar Cole Semu of the Utah Warriors rugby team are in studio to talk about their upcoming playoff run and Paul's next step after he retires in a few weeks.
Welcome to BYU Sports Nation, presented by the BYU Store, official outfitter of BYU fans everywhere. Happy Wednesday, June 11th. I am Spencer Linton alongside a man who will use the putter literally anywhere on the golf course, Jerem Jordan.
If it's just off, in the fringe, maybe. But we've never seen anything like what we saw from Zach Blair at Oakmont ahead of the U.S. Open yesterday. He hit a 122-foot putt to within 6 feet.
122 yards.
Oh, sorry, yards.
Yards.
Look how far this putt is. Oh, my gosh. So he puts it to within 6 feet.
Still going.
Which is 2 yards.
Still going. When it came off of the face of the putter, he said, oh, that's gone. It's way too long, isn't it? No. Within 6 feet.
Shout out to @AndyTFE for this.
By the way, you can do that. A golfer, if they so chose to do so in the course of tournament play, could use their putter from 122 yards
could.
Out. That's
did,
now
did.
Potentially in the arsenal for Zach
Blair.
That
was on hole one.
And awesome. Congratulations to him for, at the last minute, Jerem, qualifying for the U.S.
That's awesome.
Open.
And everyone's going to be over par. That course is brutal.
I just hope everybody has a good time.
At the end of the day, that's what sports are about. Did everyone just have a good time? Was it more about the games or was it more about the friends we made along the way?
Mm.
That's the question, yeah. Did everyone have fun?
Things to ponder as we get
I'd
into
like to win as well.
Things maybe with less sentimental value, like trending. So rise and shout. Let's get to it. Every BYU fan should know that Kevin Young wants to be at BYU.
Let's make this place the best place in college basketball to prepare young men to play in the NBA.
Kevin Young wants to go to Final Four.
That's one of the driving forces right now as we look to how this new model is going to work.
New rule changes for men's basketball. How about this? The NCAA coming in with these alterations, if you will. Specifically, one was that, and now we're calling it the Dawson Baker rule because we have
yeah,
to, right?
Here, yeah.
We
have Texas to. Tech would call it the JT Tubman rule.
Now, we're going to summarize these and then discuss how we feel this impacts the game and the pace of play and if it makes it better overall. But the Dawson Baker rule, going back to what happened in the Wisconsin game in the second round of the NCAA tournament when there was incidental contact to the groin area of an opponent and it was an automatic flagrant two, he's ejected. Well, now they can, that is allowed to be ruled to a flagrant one, Jerem. So
stay in the game.
Dawson's not in the locker room cheering on his teammates.
Although that was a good viral video.
Sure. Yeah. It made for a nice
come on, boys.
Moment. Okay, next one. Biggest change, however, the introduction of an NBA style to coaches' challenges. Coaches will be allowed to challenge out-of-bounds calls, basket interference slash goaltending, and defenders in the restricted area calls at any point during the game.
Secondary defenders.
If they have a timeout or have not had an unsuccessful challenge. Will the coaches' challenge change, in your opinion, let's start there, make the game of college basketball better?
I think so. Obviously, there are problems at times with issues in officiating. Now you can challenge certain things. You can't challenge everything. The NBA, you can challenge a foul call. So that's very different. That is not this, right? You outlined the three. You have to have a timeout to initiate a review. So you've got to have one in your bag late, maybe two, the last 5-8 minutes or something. I wish BYU had a coach that had been in the NBA who knew exactly how to use Oh, wait, BYU does. Kevin Young, that's great. I'm excited about this. I think it's good. However, we're going to see a lot of this from the players throughout the game. Oh, challenge, like, we are inundated in the NBA with that motion.
Yes.
Akash Sebastian, the director of analytics and strategy, he's the video guy. He will be the one that they will turn to probably. Looking at an iPad, and he will give, like, the thumbs up or thumbs down of, like, yes, we should challenge this. What I really want to see, and there was commentary on this in the release from the NCAA. By the way, the NCAA still does stuff. This was news to me. The NCAA still does stuff.
They're still governing
We're
something.
We're still governing something. Just not NIL and suspensions and stuff. Would be to go to quarters already. What is taking so long? What is halves? Women's basketball moved to quarters forever ago.
It's almost been a decade since the women did it.
Here's why. If there are a ton of foul calls against you and you don't like that, that can be undone at the 10-minute mark. Like, all right, fresh set of five now for us to go to the stripe or not. So I think this is good. You know, justice for Dawson Baker or whatever. But it is going to be interesting. I do like it. I think Kevin will use that effectively. I think he used his timeouts really well last year. Now he has a chance to challenge certain things. Again, it's not all the things. It's not fouls. But there will be a couple moments where challenges will swing games this next year, I believe.
I am always in favor, if you have the proper technology in place, to be able to go to review and get it right. So I'm all for it in that regard. But what you bring up is this window for any player and any coach now to question everything. Everything will be questioned now. And it will be that motion. Review it. Review it. It's going to happen 2 minutes into the game sometimes.
All the time.
Like, and you have to use it situationally. You have to be situationally aware.
I would obey the rules,
right?
Too.
Be situationally aware of when to use said challenge. And, yeah, it'd be good to pocket some timeouts in case you get to the end of that game. But so I like that we can get it right, but it just now it invites every player and every coach to question everything.
Yes. We didn't know when we woke up that we would be cutting B-roll of officials talking. That's great stuff by our crew. Well done.
Frustrated Kevin Young. Come on, man.
What's that call? Yeah. A lot of Arizona fans going, could we question the foul call that Richie Saunders used to beat us in Arizona?
Okay.
Yeah, there were a lot of questionable things that happened that night, too. That was wasn't the only thing. So, yeah, I think this is good. It's a step in the right direction. What are we doing, though, in half still?
I don't know.
Quarters. Come on.
Hasn't it been a decade since the women's basketball side of things got it right and moved to quarters?
They're separate in how they approach everything, which, okay, whatever. But what's taking so long?
The Dawson Baker rule is fantastic.
Yeah. I guess until Dawson Baker did that, I was like, why can't they call a flagrant one? What? Why is it a flagrant two? Now, if someone, like, winds up and then throws an elbow or that's a flagrant two.
Yes.
You just call it right away. Clearly, Dawson wasn't doing that. And I don't, honestly, I hate when people judge intent on the court. I don't know what they were thinking. Why should I be the one? So I would prefer that we don't do that, right? But the refs have to be like, was that egregious? Well, did he wind up? No, he didn't. It's flag one. So I think we're good, man.
Let's get it right. Let's, with this technology in play, go back and retroactively give BYU the win over Arizona State in 2008.
Against James
over
Harden.
Over James Harden's Sun Devils. When that ball was clearly out of the hand of Charles Aboah and BYU won the game.
Yeah, to me that was, they did review it and they didn't adjudicate it correctly. On to the next. Topic two. Phil Steele posted his college football position rankings. Which rankings are the most fair and which do you feel are way off?
Okay, there are a number here. So let's just go ahead and lay all eight out for you, right? Starting with the quarterbacks, BYU with the 11th rated quarterback room in the Big 12, 47th nationally. Okay, we'll go down the list. Running backs 10th in the Big 12, 6th in the conference. Offensive line 11th in the Big 12. Now to the defensive side, the defensive line at 14 out of 16 Big 12 teams. Linebackers 3rd in conference. Defensive backs 6th in conference. Special teams 1st.
3rd nationally.
That is by far BYU's most favorable position group.
Even without Keelan?
According to Phil Steele. There's a lot of
Will Farron.
Yes. A lot of respect for Will Farron. All-American status. Like he is a projected All-American.
Yeah.
Right? According to these prognosticators.
Second team All-American preseason from Phil.
There you go. As far as the ones that are fair.
And Parker Kingston, I should know.
Listen, I understand the situation around BYU's quarterbacks room. So, like, that is
hard to pin down.
What is? We have no idea right now. So, like, we'll let that one be.
You could say 20, you could say 60. It's like, well, TBD.
I take a little bit of issue with the defensive line being the 14th best position group out of the 16 Big 12 teams.
I would say third worst in that.
Just
which
because, yes, third
what he's
worst.
Saying with that.
Just because, I mean, Keanu Tanuvasa alone, Jerem, he alone to me should make BYU better than the third worst defensive line group in the conference.
Yeah, they lost all four. That's tough. Keanu is a beast, though. We think he's going to be legit.
And Phil, he tends to lean heavily into returning production. That is a very, very large component of what he does in his magazines. Is returning production is king in his eyes.
What about incoming proven people like Keanu? Like
so can that, we count what Keanu did?
Why wouldn't you?
So that's probably where I'm like,
it's lazy
what?
To only do returning production. I'm not saying that's what Phil did. I'm just saying, generally speaking, that would be lazy to me.
I know that they lost their four starters, but again, you have to consider what
you brought
BYU
in a better player than
brings
any of the four. Honestly, to me, Keanu probably was better than Tyler Batty at his position. And that's two good players right there.
People those think that players. He's got a great shot to be a second or third round draft pick.
He will be a draft pick. None of the four were last.
Just a matter of where he will get drafted and when.
Yeah.
So that to me is my biggest issue. Special teams, I was a little surprised.
That they were that high?
Because of Keelan Marion's departure.
I guess it's Parker, because he has Parker Kingston as a third-team punt returner nationally.
Good for Parker.
Had two returns.
Returned two
That's
punts
good.
For touchdowns.
Pretty good.
Fastest guy on the team, according to most of his teammates.
And best golfer.
There's truth. Yeah. Wonder if he's pulling a putter from 122 yards away. It doesn't matter. Parker's great in his own right. Wide receivers.
I agree with that one. Does BYU have a 1,000-yard guy? Do they
no,
have
no, but they're very balanced.
We think that Chase could be. So 32 to me is pretty fair. I think that's a good. You're in the top fourth of college football. That's great.
I think the linebackers are good.
Could linebackers have been higher?
Maybe. Maybe.
Because we heard from a different source this morning, I'm trying to remember who, that they're 10th. Some random
national.
Some Ford, college football. Well, it was Instagram something or whatever. Who knows?
Okay.
Anyone could just say that.
So top three.
That's some great journalism right there. Me not even knowing the name. But linebacker, 17th. I think that's good. BYU's top 20.
Nationally.
Yeah.
17th nationally.
I mean, if you told me 10th, like whatever, whoever said that, great. Yeah, they're top 20. They're very good.
Is BYU's offensive line better than the 11th best group out of the 16 in the Big 12?
53rd overall. They did lose three starters, both tackles. That's tough.
But again,
you basically
returned
the two guards.
Who do you bring in?
Well, both are unproven. Andrew Gentry looks like he could be an amazing player. Isaiah Jada as well. But from a proven standpoint, like Andrew played at Michigan on the national championship team. He started two games last year at the Liz Frank. We're excited about him. But from a He's not in the same vein as Keanu in terms of he has done on the field. He now transfers. You can pencil that in. We believe he will be, but Phil doesn't always operate in that same space as us, nor does he know BYU as well as we do.
Bruce Mitchell, Sonny Macassini, guys that have
Waylon Lapua was returning. Yes. He's your leader in that five,
by the
way.
So I think BYU may have a little more worthy experience than they're being given credit for, but I'm not going to move them a ton. I'd probably put them middle of the pack. I thought 11th was a little bit low for offensive line groups.
Yeah. And yet again, this is June 11th. I'm not going to get too riled up about a list of things. It is fun. It's content. It helps us. I'm not going to be, it's June 11th.
Okay. We have given you the numbers from Phil Steele on where he has BYU's position groups in the football world ranked in conference and nationally. So our question of the day is naturally, which BYU football position group is the most underrated according to the college football prognosticator Phil Steele? At Twiggy or Stone on X answers, defensive line being the lowest at 67th nationally surprised me. They have a high impact transfer coming in, and I think that group will be better than last year. I expect them to perform well above that ranking.
Yeah, you know, Justin Kirkland and Anise Purcell, D tackle. You like some of the experience that you bring in there from Oklahoma State and SU. And Kirkland got heavily, heavily recruited at the last second by other teams that wanted to pay him a bunch of money. And he chose BYU, which is pretty awesome.
Kirkland and Tanuvasa alone.
And DN, there's a lot of questions, right, still. Logan Lutui decided he was going to come back for a fifth year, which is awesome. And then there's some young guys. So it's exciting. But, 67. You get guys like Akina from Texas, didn't play a ton. He could be one of those, I guess, other sport thing. Alex Barcelo barely played at Arizona for 2 years, and then he was the best shooter in college basketball here at BYU. He was a star and led BYU to 2 NCAA tournaments. So would have been 3, right, had the COVID one happen. At Sammy J. Dot, offensive line going to be a force to be reckoned with. Linebackers will be elite as well. I think BYU feels good about every position being in the top 50 in some capacity, right? You're hoping it's top 25 in many of them. But I think that's part of what the puzzle, the equation for BYU that works is. You may not have 5 stars running around, but combined they are a 4- or 5-star defense. Last year, BYU walked into the season. We didn't think that that was going to be as good of a defense as they were, but the pieces together, the coaching, the cohesion, the discipline, everyone doing their 1/11th, as they say. They all do their jobs together.
Yes.
They are a fantastic to maybe elite group. They were an elite takeaway group. They were amazing. That's not a list here. Who's the best at takeaways? From last year, I would argue BYU, who was top 3. They were number 1 in picks, number 3 in takeaways. You go, hey, top 5 takeaway team, and then points, they were top 25. Those are the things that matter. If your position group is 67 or whatever, I don't really care that much.
We anticipate, and correct me if I'm wrong, that BYU will be, at worst, a top 5 defense in the Big 12 overall.
I believe so, yeah.
So some of these numbers don't exactly correlate.
And that's okay. This is
position by position.
What's his job? Fill out some pages in magazine. That's his job.
The running backs, too. And I'll bring this up before as a last stop before we move on. But there are some on the team outside of the running backs room, in the quarterbacks room specifically, it told us in spring, they believe that the running backs are significantly underrated, that they, quote unquote, have the best running backs room in the entire Big 12 conference. That's a weighty statement.
Yeah.
Weighty statement.
And they should feel and believe that.
LJ Martin, Sione Moa, okay? Like those two leading the charge.
Pokai Ho'unga is going to be a dangerous weapon. We barely saw him last year.
Pokai, got to know him a little bit better while we were cruising with the Cougs.
Athletic.
Super athlete.
Enoch Nawahine. Jovessa Demuni.
All of those guys, all of these names that we just brought up have meaningful carries from last season.
Three of those guys do. We didn't see Pokai a ton. But when we saw him, he was pretty dynamic, very quick. They may put him in the slot sometimes.
So just maybe.
And at the end of the season, we saw some full house backfields with 3 running backs, which was fun.
Yes. And in spring football, we saw and were told 3 back sets should not be a surprising thing.
They're not going to roll it out consistently. But that look will be a fun wrinkle.
For sure.
Yeah.
Okay. Weigh in on X, Facebook, and Instagram to join that conversation. Yegor Demin is back in our trending topics as one of 13 players given an initial invite to the NBA Draft Night Green Room. Does the invite to the Green Room guarantees a lottery pick, Jerem?
I don't know that it guarantees that.
I laugh because that word. Yeah.
Right. But it certainly makes you feel very excited about the opportunity that he has to go inside the lottery or the top 15. I don't think there's any way he goes past 15, by the way.
No
if
way.
He somehow falls to 15 with the Thunder, oh, my gosh. That's great for the Thunder. That's great for Yegor. So there a lot of conversation about out there about where he could go.
But he wouldn't be a lottery pick at 15.
Doesn't matter. Fit is everything. Like, you're telling me if he went to the Thunder, who will win the NBA Finals, I believe, tied at 1, Game 3 coming up tonight, that would be an unbelievable fit. So what happens is they pull who players think of the top 25, and they put them in there.
Yeah.
They put them in the green room. Now, you don't want to be the guy where it drops, da da da. From what we're hearing, all indications are there's no way he falls past 15.
No
right
way.
Right now, it's looking great. He had a great combine. When people get him on their campus in their building, they get to know him and love him like we do. They understand the skill set. He shot very well, which is kind of the big question mark. We've been told he's the best passer in the draft. This is all great news for Yegor. Cannot wait for him to be hopefully inside the lottery, but just with a great fit. The fit is everything, as we've talked about.
It doesn't guarantee that he will be taken as a top 14 pick, but there's a reason they invite certain people to be in that room.
Right.
He generates a big conversation. And going back to a few weeks ago, coming off of the combine, there were a select number of teams that were, quote unquote, the most interested in Yegor based on how much time they spent with him in their interviews and follow-ups. And they are the Brooklyn Nets, who pick 8th, Houston Rockets at 10, Trailblazers at 11, the Atlanta Hawks at 13, and the Spurs at 14.
Thunder had him in too.
Yeah.
So there's no way he goes past 15.
It's not happening.
It's not happening, based on what we're hearing.
Ceiling too
high.
Which
is great news for him.
And he shot the lights out there.
Yep.
Shot the lights out of the combine. That really helped.
And oh, by the way, he have 1 year of college basketball.
He's 6'8", and he's the best passer in college basketball.
He's like the tallest point guard ever at the combine. And the dude can pass, and he can shoot, and it's amazing. He's awesome. Coming up on Friday, join us for an encore presentation of 1984, 40 Years Strong and True, a two-hour special celebrating the 40th anniversary of the 1984 BYU National Championship football team. Watch it Friday at noon Eastern, right here on BYU TV.
After the break, he's currently competing for the most popular man on campus at BYU, and he's in studio, the head basketball coach, Kevin Young, discussing why he wants to continue to be at BYU. This is BYU Sports Nation.
Kevin, staying at BYU.
And being able to do it with my wife and my three little ones, that's why we came here.
He wants to be at BYU.
It's my first priority is those guys.
Major win for BYU athletics.
Here he is, Kevin Young.
We are live in Studio B. This is your day-to-day BYU Sports play-by-play. I am Spencer Linton, teamed up with Jerem Jordan, the man of the moment. And that highlight video, the head coach of BYU men's basketball, Kevin Young, is back in Studio B. Coach, great to have you with us. Welcome and congratulations on coming to a new contract agreement.
No, appreciate it. You know, excited to join you guys as always. And then, excited to, be here, longer. You know, we obviously love it. My wife and kids love it. And, it's obviously an exciting time, for not just basketball, but, all of athletics with, Brian coming into the kind of the new guard and the momentum that I think a lot of the sports have from last year. So it's a great time to be here.
What kind of interest with the success of the season that happened was there with you that sort of ushered in the contract extension?
Yeah, I mean, obviously, coaching, whether college, NBA, it's the offseason brings conversations along. And so, there were some conversations outside of here that were probably necessary. But man, this is where we wanted to be. And, the business side of sports sometimes are just part of it, and that's just how this profession works. And so fairly comfortable navigating all that. But again, we didn't come here for just a short pit stop. We obviously want to be here and really excited about, what we're building and feel really great about, the team we have coming in for next year and in the future years as well.
How did year one meet your expectations compared to maybe what you thought it would be? And how was it different as well as you look back on that whole first year?
Man, it was just learning. That's probably the number one thing. It's a lot different than what I was used to. The day-to-day is probably the biggest difference. All the practice time and the meeting time and so forth, it's just different than the NBA world. And so I think I got to a point, once we got a couple wins under our belt, that kind of let me breathe a little easy. And then we were able to sort of figure out the best way we could, do things from a system standpoint. And so that's the part I wasn't sure what to expect. I mean, the games are the games, and you're going to figure that out as a coach, but it's just the everyday life and how do you operate as a college head coach. And that's probably where I feel like I've learned the most.
Now, the biggest story of the offseason is not the extension. It's that you're expecting a fourth child.
Come on! Come on!
Yeah,
congratulations.
Yeah.
Appreciate that.
So that's the actual newest recruit. I know people have been talking about the others. What does that mean for the fam, and what's that like right now?
Yeah, that was a surprise. Yeah, that was a definite surprise. But we were on the road, and my wife FaceTimed me with the pregnancy test. I think we were at Cincinnati. We ended up getting smacked by 20 that game. Not saying that's why, but that's
emotional day.
Yeah, that's probably why. But we're excited. Little girl, that's probably the most exciting part. Zoe has a sister. I've always had a little guilt, is she ever going to have a sister? And so she's the most excited young for this new recruit, which I like that. I'm definitely running with that. But it's, a lot of change coming in our house for sure.
I'm reminded of a quote from Kalani Sitake when he and his wife Kimberly got pregnant a few years back. He said, "God has an interesting sense of humor."
The gap between their oldest and that new baby was 14 or 15 years, I want to say. It was a big one. So we actually gave him diapers and wipes. So go ahead and bring him on. No, we don't have to. Yeah, I'm just kidding.
In a grander topic there, the work-life balance is always an interesting one, and it's a grind in the NBA. No doubt about it. You've been very open about how tough that is, managing family time and an NBA schedule. So how has being at BYU allowed you maybe to settle into more of that work-life balance that we all seek?
Yeah. I mean, you know, I think one thing that needs to be said for sure, I mean, this is also a grind. You know, this is also very challenging, and often, in a lot of ways, it's more challenging. But, you know, I find myself being much busier doing this job, but I find myself being home at night more with my family, which, you know, is something that has not been there, you know, prior to coming here. So that part's been nice. And then also just, you know, being able to, you know, bring my kids along for the ride. And my wife, you know, I think we were going to get, like, reported with CPS for kids missing too much school with them coming to the Big 12 tournament, coming to the NCAA tournament.
And, hopefully they'll miss more time this next year.
Exactly. We may have to, like, you know, hire a little tutor to come with so that they don't fall
behind.
Just
didn't know she was doing that.
Exactly.
Kids too, yeah.
But she does. She's willing and able to get them involved, awesome. Too. But, yeah, that's been fun just having them around more. And just, I think college is just, it is more family-centric than the pros. And so that part's been fun.
And this place. I mean, this place is unique to everywhere else, too. We were talking about some of the rule changes in college basketball. You, of course, would be familiar with coaches' challenges. The fouls are not a part of this, but what did you make of some of those rules? And we feel like there's some justice for Dawson Baker on the flagrant one being available now.
Yeah. I mean, that was obviously well overdue. That was kind of a head-scratcher. But I think it's a step in a good direction. You know, I don't think it's all the way where it needs to be. Like, you know, maybe it's just a jumping off point to – I personally would like to see it more in line with the NBA challenge. So I think fans will probably be, you know, challenged that, but you can't. You know what I mean? I think people have to learn what the rule actually is. There was a lot of debate about it at the Big 12 coaches meetings and stuff. So, but again, I commend, you know, college sports and the Big 12 to trying to, you know, advance the game.
Yeah.
You know, and I think that's probably a good sign.
Mainly in out is the who would touch the last is going to be the challenge, right? You're not going to challenge goaltending a ton. The restricted area secondary defender, not a ton, probably.
Yeah. I mean, you also have to be, you know, really on point with your own video stat.
Akash is going to be ready, right?
Exactly. So not just Akash, but we had a guy in the NBA who, like, that was literally his only job was to just do the reviews. And so you got to have the technology associated with it. Where I think people will potentially get frustrated with it is in the past, the officials could, in the last 2 minutes, could go on their own, check and see if a ball went out on someone. Now someone has to have a challenge in order to do that, right? So then there's so many things involved in when you should actually use it. Do you save it? So that part I don't love in terms of the officials not being able to just look at things on their own.
Yeah.
So that's a caveat that I think fans need to be aware of. But I think it'll be a learning lesson, I think, for the fans and the coaches and the officials as well.
I'd like to institute this motion into just general life. Like, when my your wife's players, arguing about something, like, no, let's go ahead and review the tape.
No. But your players are going to be doing this nonstop now.
All jokes aside, it's like, and we'll have to talk with our players, you know, they want, and it's like, if I can't trust you, then it's like, you know, you really can't be crying wolf. Like, it has to be, like, legitimate because there's a lot of consequences that go, you know, with this challenge rule. So, it'll be see who's trustworthy out there as players.
In men's volleyball, there's two wrong challenges, if you will. And so the players have to be super honest. Like, if I touched it, it's like, don't challenge it.
Yeah. But now you,
so
you do.
So it's interesting, that relationship with the coach and the players on this.
For sure. Yeah. I've seen, like, Mark, the OKC's coach, I've seen him looking at some of his guys, like, you know, in these finals.
Yes.
And stuff.
Chet one time was like, no, I touched it.
Yeah. Sorry, man, integrity matters, man.
Right? Yes, it does. Yes, it does.
Kevin Young, head basketball coach at BYU, is with us on BYU Sports Nation. Let's push it forward and talk about your staff and your roster. Mm-hmm. What kind of advantage do you feel like you have this year because your entire staff is continuous and they're all back? There are new pieces on your roster, but just to have the staff back and in place with no changes, how do you view that and what type of advantage is that for you?
Yeah, it's a huge advantage. I think continuity, I think we've seen it early on as we've gone through some of this spring and early summer workouts. It's been a huge, you know, just a lot, a stressor that we don't have to deal with, you know. I think there's a lot of comfort in what we're doing, not just with the coaches, but a lot of the GAs are the same, some of the managers, and, like, those guys drive a lot of what we do. And so, you know, I have an unbelievable coaching staff where a lot of them will be, I mean, really, like, all the guys you just showed on that graphic could be a head coach, you know, at, really at any given moment. So, you know, I'm a little nervous that I'll get a phone call out of nowhere with any one of these guys. But, you know, especially with our group, you know, I think a lot of college programs, you think, okay, well, this guy could get a college job, and that cycle at this point has run its course. I think with my group, you know, there's a lot of pro guys that could go to the NBA, could go to Europe or do this or do that. And so, you know, trying to make everybody feel valued and you know, understand what they're, how much they mean to, you know, what we have going on.
What's your sense of where Yegor Demin could go? Because you were at the combine with him. You talked to him a lot. It seems like things are going great.
I'm proud of the way he's attacked this process. I mean, I don't think people understand how grueling it actually is. I mean, you do all your individual pre-draft stuff getting ready, and then you go to the combine, and you're interviewing with people all day, every day. Obviously, the court stuff is important as well. But then once you leave the combine, I mean, you're in, you know, this city this day, and then you're doing more interviews, and you're usually in there with five other guys, and you're doing workouts, and then you're going to dinner, and you're having more conversation, and you fly to the next city. And this is a constant thing for weeks on end. So it's not as easy as people make it out to be. So they get tired quite a bit. You know, he texted me the other day, like, man, this is grueling, you know? And so I just try to remind him, like, hey, man, everyone you meet with, it's the first time you're meeting with them, even though you've done this 10 times. And so I think he's learning a lot, but he's having a blast with it. It's been cool. You know, we went to dinner out in Chicago after his pro day, which he killed it. You know, I was nervous like a dad over there, hoping he'd make every shot, but
he almost did.
Yeah. He shot the lights out.
He
shot the heck out of it. But tons of good feedback. You know, that for me, that's the thing I love where, you know, he had texted me the other day, man, hey, man, like, everywhere I go, someone's like, hey, tell KY I said hi. So, like, the two worlds really, you know, merging is fun for me to keep a lot of those relationships alive and then see it kind of impact, you know, a guy like Yegor. So I'm excited for draft night. I know we all are. It's going to be fun.
Let's talk about your roster, because while you bring back some significant core pieces led by Richie Saunders and guys like Dawson Baker and others, like those pieces matter a lot, but you do have some new, very prominent parts that are coming in that fans are understandably excited about, led by AJ DeBonta. So over the last few weeks, what have you seen from the new guys specifically led by AJ and how they're fitting into their new roles?
Yeah, it's been exciting. You know, I was just over there just now watching, you know, some of the workouts, but I think AJ, I think what's really unique about him is as talented as he is, you know, it's not all about him. You know, he's a great teammate. He's very, very coachable, and he's a playmaker. You know, I think you see a lot of the highlights with, you know, he's dunking this and he's doing that, but he really is smart, knows how to play. You know, it's been fun watching him and Richie's chemistry kind of grow over there. So we're fortunate that he was able to get on campus early. Along with, you know, some of the other guys. Xavian's also been able to be here as well. And, yeah, it's critical to get those guys into our weight program with Michael Davey and really just set the foundation. And then other guys are starting to sprinkle in. You know, Dominique Diomande's been around as well. You know, so more and more guys are starting to get here. And it's just exciting to build off the continuity that you mentioned with the staff. And now it's just like, you know, we kind of hit the ground running when guys get here.
When do you expect to have your whole roster in place and all the full team ready to go?
Yeah, so with AJ doing some of the Team USA stuff, you know, that throws a little caveat into it. So I think once we get through that, I think the latter part of the summer we'll have most everybody here. But we've kind of scheduled it around those things to try to, you know, maximize getting some of the young guys up to speed, but then understanding that we wanted to, you know, have like a 3 week or so like mini camp sort of towards the end of the summer.
Burgess was in here last week talking about the non-conference schedule and how you guys looked at Arizona and Kentucky and said, hey, we gotta get after it. You've really gotten after it non-conference. How would you describe the goal of playing such a tough non-conference and trying to get a great seed in the NCAA tournament?
I think it's, you know, it's multi-layered. You know, the seeds that you just mentioned is something that we definitely did some analytics on and try to understand, the value of playing, you know, quad whatever games in a non-conference, because we know what we're going to get in the Big 12, and studying other teams in terms of what they did and then where they ended up being seeded and so forth. So that's one, obviously. But for me, and maybe even more important, is just getting ourselves ready for Big 12 play. You know, I think that's one of the reasons we got started kind of out of the gate a little slow last year. We didn't have the schedule that I would have liked, and so we wanted to, you know, make it a little tougher. You know, this one obviously maybe we'll see where it shakes out. I mean, there was one we were kind of on the fence on, and we were like, hey man, let's just do it and see where it goes. So it's gonna be exciting. You know, it puts a lot of onus on, you know, the kind of the preseason work, if you will, the training camp and stuff like that, and just being able to hit the ground running, because it'll be go time.
Kevin Young on BYU Sports Nation, the head coach, answering a bevy of questions. We appreciate you spending some time with us. Good luck locking down the tutor for the non-conference trips to TD Garden and Vegas and wherever else you're going to go.
And in March and hopefully April. Yeah. Let's go.
Yeah. Absolutely. Thank you.
Thanks, Kevin.
Yeah. All right. After the break, which former Cougar is playing for Team USA in less than an hour?
It's that guy.
Indeed it is. If you know who it is.
If you don't know his name, we'll tell you after the break.
This is BYU Sports Nation.
BYU Sports Nation is presented by The BYU Store, official outfitter of BYU fans everywhere.
Follow BYU Sports Nation on social, we're on Facebook, X, Instagram, YouTube, and TikTok.
Welcome back to Studio B. I am Spencer Linton. He is Jerem Jordan. And these are your midweek headlines.
Yegor Demin, one of 13 players to receive the initial green room invite for the NBA draft on June 25th. The players invited to the green room are selected by a poll from NBA teams that vote on who the top 25 players are in the draft.
The NCAA Playing Rules Oversight Panel has put a new rule in place that coaches can now challenge out-of-bounds calls, basket interference, and if a player was in the restricted area at any point in the game. They also
clarification there, secondary defender in the restricted area.
They also ruled that contact to the groin area can be ruled as a flagrant one, not automatic two. Before, the only option was a common foul or flagrant two. It's the Dawson Baker rule. Justice for Dawson.
If that happens in my morning ball group, that will be a flagrant two, just saying.
Automatic, huh?
Yeah, automatic. Track and field outdoor nationals start today in Eugene, Oregon. Through Saturday, BYU has 20 athletes competing in 18 events. Decathletes Ben Barton, Jaden Ross Kelly will kick things off for BYU right after the show.
BYU Gymnastics has signed Jersey Arbon out of Riverton High School and Black Diamond Gymnastics. She is a bars and beam specialist. She also picked up interest from Arizona State and Southern Utah, both good programs.
Beam fence. Ch-ch. USA Men's Volleyball is in action today against Ukraine. 1 Eastern in Rio de Janeiro. Rio de Janeiro. Brazil has former Cougar Gabi Garcia Fernandez on the roster, along with former Cougar players and coaches Chris McGowan and Lucas Slabe on the coaching staff.
Does it burn your ears when people say Rio?
It kind of does. But I don't want to be that guy, but I kind of want to be that guy.
Rio de Janeiro.
Yeah.
Former BYU women's soccer defensive standout Leveni Vaca named All USL Super League second team, playing for Fort Lauderdale United. Vaca played 18 matches for Fort Lauderdale as one of the best defenders in the league. Coming up, not one, but two former BYU rugby greats joined the show to discuss their upcoming playoff run representing the Utah Warriors.
Okay.
This is BYU Sports Nation. Back to BYU Sports Station. We are live in Studio B. I'm Spencer Linton. That is Jerem Jordan. And we now welcome in a dynamic duo from the Utah Warriors.
Yeah.
Rugby on topic. Professional
rugby. Hey,
there's
a blending of my worlds here.
Yes.
Let's go.
Former BYU standout Paul Asike and a rookie for the Warriors, Cole Semu. Great to have you guys with us.
What's up, boys?
On BYUSN.
Yeah, thanks for having us.
Playoff time. Okay, so let's just go ahead and start there. For those that are not familiar with the Utah Warriors and the professional rugby scene, what is about to happen for the Warriors and your team, Paul?
Yeah, playoffs, it's pretty much knockout rugby. So we just finished the regular season, 16 weeks or 16 games. And so we finished top of the table. It's been an awesome season so far. And then, so now we're into the quarterfinals. And yeah, like I said, knockout rugby.
What a rookie season for you, Paul.
Yeah, man, it's been good. Been blessed to be there.
What's it been like to have the center pairing at 12 and 13 to play with Paul here?
It's pretty unreal, eh? Playing here at BYU, you hear the legends about Polasike, and then getting over to the Warriors and just training with them, and then after practice, yeah, Paul's coming up to me, asking me if I want to work on anything, or yeah, just picking his brains, trying to learn everything I can.
Was he really recruiting you just to help finish someone's basement? Is that what really happened? or to play some music or something?
Yeah, no, that was it.
Paul, it's been so fun to watch your team this year. 58 points, as you mentioned, top of the table. Team record 11 wins. You guys are the number one scoring team in the league. Is that what the goal was before the season? Hey, we can be this team. We can be the one seed and have home playoff games.
Yeah, that was the ultimate goal. Our first goal was to make the playoffs, you know, to be top four. And then second goal was to be top in the West, and particularly so we can have home playoff games and you know, give our crowd something to cheer for in the postseason. So, yeah, it's been our goal, and we've ticked all the boxes so far. But, yeah, it's almost like we're just getting started, you know. This is a massive push. Hopefully we have three more games, quarters, semis, and then the finals. So, yeah.
What is it like to have a BYU contingent on the Utah Warriors, Cole? Not just Paul, but you also have Matt Jensen. So to have BYU guys with you, how has that helped you?
It's pretty sweet, man. We all just like having little family there. You got Tielu Sangala as well. Rookie just came in as well. But it's nice to be able to just chop it up, talk about the BYU days, and yeah, compare his time, my time. it's been good, man.
He had to play with Steve, not be coached by Steve St. Pierre.
Yeah,
that's the difference, right?
Yeah. I played with Steve 2009, my freshman year. He was a senior. He was our captain. Yep. Now he's the men's head coach at BYU, and so yeah.
Cole, he was my old roommate. If he gives you trouble, you just let me know. Okay, let's talk about the crowd at Zion Stadium in Harriman. It is special. It is the best in the league. What makes it so good? Because 4,000 to 5,000 people pack that place and make it an incredible experience, I imagine, for you guys.
Yeah, no, it's awesome. We have, I think last year, and I'm not sure, we're probably on track this year in terms of numbers. I think we were number one in the league. And they're just awesome. We have Big Buddha sometimes there. He hypes the crowd up. He hasn't been there the last few, but it's been really cool to see the crowd take on that role and just come up with chants and all that sort of stuff to kind of be the 16th man on the field. So it's been really fun.
The rugby community is unique in Utah. There's a rich history with Highland. That's where you won some championships, obviously.
Yeah.
United and Harriman and so on and so forth. Of course, BYU and Utah and so forth. Cole, what's it like to play rugby here and represent Utah? Because this place knows rugby and appreciates it.
Yeah, man, it's sweet. Like, I've been to a couple Warriors games before this year, just as a fan. But I didn't really appreciate it until kind of playing this year and going to these other stadiums. Utah's special, man. Like, the fans are loud and energetic, and like Paul said, the new chants. Hear a new one every week, it feels like. And yeah, it feels like get the ref to sway our way a little bit just by getting in his ear, man. Like,
yeah, hands in the rack right there.
There was a forward pass last week, and the crowd went crazy, man. Yeah. It was funny to be a part of it.
Yeah.
Paul Asike and Cole Semu from the Utah Warriors are with us on BYU Sports Nation. Paul, this is a little bit of a swan song for you. You recently announced your retirement.
You have to really retire. You don't have to retire. Yeah. Come on, man.
I mean, you might see me here next year. You never know. Nah. Nah.
But you also announced that you're going to coach rugby at Southern Virginia. So why was now the right time to hang up the professional cleats and then get into the coaching ranks?
A couple driving factors. One is definitely injuries. It's been tough the last few seasons. Just rugby is a really physical sport, and you got to be at the top of your game physically. And if you're not, it's just really uncomfortable to play with injuries. And then the second thing, I just had that gut feeling. I knew that it was time. Your body gets older. You can't quite do the things. You're not as fast as you used to be. And you got young bucks like Cole here that are now coming through the ranks.
They're reminding you that you're an old man.
Yeah, yeah. I look at these guys and I'm envious. I'm like, dang, I remember when I was like that. Yeah, so, those are a couple reasons. And Coach David Smith, he coached us at BYU. He started the program at Southern Virginia University, and he reached out to me. And so it was an awesome opportunity to stay in the sport and carry it on. So, yeah.
There may have been some people who are like, oh, yeah, I remember Paul Asike from rugby or football. Describe your journey, because it's taken you to being the first player that the Utah Warriors wanted. They call you Warrior number one, to Harlequins in the Premiership in England for 4 years, back to Utah, You dabbled in the NFL as well, which was awesome. How would you describe this athletic journey you've had? Because I first met you when you were a freshman in 09.
Yeah.
And here we are 16 years later. And,
I know.
You've been killing it, man.
Nah, it's been crazy. It's been cool to see you doing your thing and still in there as well. So, nah, but it's almost like a full circle moment. People have explained it or shared with me. You know, I started at BYU, went to American football, left over to England, came, you know, went back to rugby, and then now I'm back here in Utah. And so, yeah, it's been awesome to have this experience, you know, and to be able to have played as long as I have. You know, I just count the blessings. Every chance that I get to play on the field, every chance I get to be in this environment is a blessing. So it's like, it's winding down, so I'm really savoring the moments.
Paul Asike and Cole Semu of the Utah Warriors rugby squad, former BYU guys on BYUSN. Let's take this big picture, because in 2031, the United States is going to host the World Cup for the men. In 2033, they're going to host it for the women. Clearly, the sport is growing in popularity. So this is a question for both of you. Cole, we'll start with you. What does it mean to have that lined up for 2031, that the World Cup's going to be in the United States?
Man, it's sweet. Like, a cool opportunity. Awesome for American rugby. Talking to some of, like, the USA players and coaches, and our CEO, Kimball Kerr, he's they want Utah to be the epicenter of rugby in the U.S., and I think building towards that 2031 World Cup, like, to have Utah be such, like, a staple of rugby would be sweet, and just get all these international guys coming over, experiencing American rugby, being able to build the sport in that way, I think it'd be awesome.
Yeah, no, just piggybacking off Cole, there's also another tournament here, the Pacific Nations Cup that they're holding at America First Field. Yeah, all of these events that they're trying to get USA on the map in the world rugby scene is massive for the growth of the sport here. And so, yeah, you know, you've seen it with soccer back in the 90s when they started holding, you know, events and stuff here. It really took off, and, you know, hopefully rugby can be like that and continue to grow.
Okay, last but not least, Seattle Seawolves coming in Saturday night, 8 o'clock. This is a team that got you at home this year. How do you get revenge, Paul, in the playoffs coming up Saturday night?
Physicality. They're a physical team. They're direct. And so now it'll be awesome to come out, you know, and watch just guys smash each other. That'll be the key to our game this weekend, pretty much.
Said like a back. Yeah. The forwards to the yeah. You guys do it too.
Yeah.
But you don't have to get in the scrum. Yeah. Well done. Well done.
Cole, would you add anything to that besides the physicality? What you learned from the first go around?
Get Cole the ball. That's what I would say.
Okay.
Yeah,
man. Physicality. I think that's it. Yeah. Like, we know what's coming. They know it's coming. It's just who's going to step up on Saturday night, who wants it more. So
I wish I was calling the game, but I'll be there.
Yeah, 100.
You may hear a weird joke. It's probably from me. I got you. Thanks for coming in. It's great to see you guys.
No, thanks.
Yeah.
Good
you
luck to you. Some BYU Sports Nation karma to both of you.
Beat the Seawolves. Let's go Warriors. Absolutely. Up the Wasps.
Yeah. Great to talk to
you. If you missed any of our interviews or episodes, Deep Lewis and more, you can catch them on BYUSN.com and the free BYU TV app.
After the break, which football position group do you feel is the most underrated by college football insider Phil Steele? More of what you have to say after the break on BYU Sports Nation.
BYU Sports Nation is presented by the BYU Store, official outfitter of BYU fans everywhere.
BYU TV and BYU Radio apps, or listen to the pod, subscribe, rate, and review.
Our question of the day: which BYU football position group is the most underrated according to college football insider Phil Steele? Our elite voice of the day, presented by PAX Healthcare, elevated in from our friend Cougar Stats on X, who says, given that he ranked BYU 52nd, probably all of them.
Real quick, John Rothstein posted just minutes ago, BYU men's basketball will play Arizona, Texas Tech, and Utah twice in Big 12 play during the season. We'll break that down.
Wow.
More coming up tomorrow on the show.
That's an interesting trio.
I was hoping
trio.
Arizona would be one of them. That's
Arizona
great.
And Utah, right?
Like, yes. Utah was assumed.
But
Arizona.
Texas Tech twice.
I thought it might be Kansas or Houston. We'll break it down tomorrow.
Okay. Let's Today's go. Rise and Shout-Out presented by Mountain America, the official credit union of BYU Athletics.
Track and field. Best of luck at Nationals. That starts today. The decathlon getting going here in just a couple of minutes. In Eugene at Hayward Field, the greatest track and field complex in the world, Spencer.
It is super historic. Good luck to all involved. Our thanks to today's guests, BYU men's basketball head coach Kevin Young and rugby stars Paul Lasike and Cole Semu.
Sorry to Dennis Pitta, we ran out of time. Dennis could have been a good lock.
Yeah.
Tall guy in the lineout.
Yeah.
Not overly physical.
He could have done a lot of things.
Yeah, sure.
For Jerem, I'm Spencer. Shout out to Skylar Ridley. We'll see you back here tomorrow on BYU Sports Nation. Go Cougs.